The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
Giving a voice to the voiceless, pulling stories out of the shadows and putting them under the spotlight, making sure that each person is valued and cared for. This is Humanity First with Peter Evers, presented by BAMSI.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Humanity First. And we talked about this a little last week, but I think as Brocktonians, we're pretty angry at the way that Brockton has been portrayed in the media. And we talked about this last week. We seem to get an awful lot of negative attention from news articles. And, you know, week after week, we seem to be hearing about that. And I think that makes us collectively angry because I know that Brockton is a wonderful community. And I know that people are working incredibly hard in our communities to lift people out of poverty and to address some of the injustices that exist in this state. And we have some of those in Brockton, but we have an incredible network of services and people in Brockton that are really working to improve our lot. And BAMSI, I think, is a really good example of that. We provide 120 different services in 110 different locations. Many of those are within the bounds of Brockton. And those services really work with people who are oftentimes underprivileged in terms of socioeconomic reasons, but they'll also be struggling with mental illness, with addiction, and disabilities. And I'm really proud of that. I'm proud of what we do in our community with our partners in the community, from the folks in the city to other nonprofits to for-profit organizations. And I'm really, really happy to tell you that in the second half of the program, we're going to have a couple of staff from BAMSI who are going to talk to us about a project that we've been working on with public television and an organization called Viewpoint with Dennis Quaid. We are the subject of a little public information film that is going to be airing on television and on PBS for the next year. And we're going to be having an event at Massasoit College on March the 28th. Information can be found on BAMSI.org. And it will be a wonderful celebration of our harm reduction programs, both in our Brockton community and our Plymouth community. So we'll be back in a minute to talk about the project.
Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm an essential worker here at BAMSI, and I'm a nurse. Nurses are essential here at BAMSI because as nurses, we really have the opportunity to make an impact. We have very small ratios, so we have the opportunity to really learn everything about the person served and be able to give the best care. It really serves such a great purpose for me as being a nurse and really why I came into nursing. Learn more about nursing opportunities at BAMSIjobs.org.
Giving a voice to the voiceless, pulling stories out of the shadows and putting them under the spotlight, making sure that each person is valued and cared for. This is Humanity First with Peter Evers, presented by BAMSI.
Welcome back, everybody, to Humanity First. And as promised earlier in the show, we have a couple of great guests today to talk about a great event that's just coming up. In the studio with us is Sarah Gannett, who is our VP of Mark and Phil, as we call it, Marketing, Philanthropy and Communications. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Peter. It's nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. And Mary Collin, who is a veteran of this podcast. I think this is the third time you have been on, Mary, and you are our Director of Harm Reduction Services. Welcome back. And it's great to see you again.
Thank you. I am always happy to be here.
So we have something very important to talk about today. We have something to talk about in terms of what is going on in our country and our communities at the moment, which is the disease of substance use disorder and some of the effects that is having on a society, but also a very special event that is coming up very soon. About 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, Sarah, we were approached by a company called Viewpoint with Dennis Quaid. Some people might be having some vague flashes of knowledge about that because they work with public broadcasting and the, whatever that's called, PBS, Public Broadcasting mm-hmm. Service. And instead of commercials on PBS, of course, they have little info films. And Viewpoint with Dennis Quaid is a company that makes little segments for that sort of 3 minutes, 5 minutes before the hour. And we were approached a few months ago asking us if we would be the focus of one of these. Now, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but maybe we should just take a moment to have a look at our first video, which is really about the event we're about to talk about with Sarah. We're a passenger in a vehicle that they're driving, and we're accepting the disease or the issue that they have and then helping them in a direction towards recovery.
As a person in long-term recovery, myself, the gift that I can bring to doing this work is just I can be my authentic self, you know, I have the experience and I just know that people need help. I needed help, everybody needs help.
Substance use disorders and experiencing homelessness is not designated to one group of people. It can happen to anybody. It doesn't just automatically turn them into bad people.
The access to clean needles is a huge thing. Access to clean cookers, cottons, anything that's going to keep you free of HIV and hepatitis.
Right, Sarah, that's very exciting. Tell us a little bit more about the event that we're planning, which is going to really do the big reveal on our show.
Definitely. So as Peter mentioned, we were approached, which I think is a testament to the services that Mary and her team provide to the community, both in Greater Brockton and the Greater Plymouth communities. We were approached by Viewpoint about a year ago to do this the segment on our harm reduction services, and went through a process over the course of a year where actually the production crew came out to Brockton, came out to Plymouth, filmed our teams in action and the work they do. And thought that, you know, obviously the segment will be filmed, the segment that was filmed will be shown on PBS nationwide starting in April, but we wanted to bring that directly to the community so that they could see firsthand what will be featured on television, and also bring folks together, a number of community providers, for an event on March 28th, where we'll premiere not only the video, but also the stars of the video, Mary and some of her colleagues, as well as the other organizations in the community, such as the Brockton Neighborhood Health Center and others who work with us in reaching out to the community and helping folks out there.
So that's the event. But we also have another clip now, which is the commercial for what is running on the TV stations at the moment. Why don't we have a look at that?
Founded in 1975 and headquartered in Brockton, Massachusetts, BAMSI is a nonprofit organization which offers a full continuum of evidence-based mental and behavioral healthcare services delivered in a caring and compassionate manner. BAMSI impacts the lives of more than 50,000 individuals each year, driving change and creating equal opportunities for individuals with developmental disabilities and mental and behavioral health challenges. BAMSI recognizes the diverse needs of individuals with mental health concerns and offers a variety of supports tailored to their specific requirements, including counseling and therapy, community outreach and education, and peer support. With a focus on fostering holistic well-being, BAMSI promotes the recovery, resiliency, and self-determination of the people they serve, empowering them to transform their lives and achieve their goals. Learn more today about BAMSI, meeting each person where they are so they can learn, grow, and thrive.
So, Mary, really exciting stuff. I don't know how you feel about seeing yourself on the silver screen, but tell us a little bit about that experience. There was an awful lot of production that went into that. But how do you think it captured the work that we do? I certainly do. But what do you think about that?
I do, and I did not ever think that I would be on the big screen. So it is exciting. I think one of my favorite parts was that we had a lot of, we were able to write up our own script, and we were able to focus on, you know, specific subjects that we wanted to touch on, to make sure that we encapsulated everything, you know, that we really wanted to show. So I think they did a great job of showing not only both of the COPE centers, but BAMSI as a whole.
So, you know, what's interesting, what I thought anyway was really interesting, was how they captured the zeitgeist of what's going on at the moment in our society. I would say even 10, 15 years ago, this notion of harm reduction was something that people really pushed back on. And Mary, you and I had the displeasure, I think, of being in a town meeting or a city meeting a couple of years ago, where we were criticized roundly for the syringe issue in Brockton. And I thought you did a wonderful job in pushing back and talking about the fact that harm reduction is moving into this best practice mode at the moment. Tell me a little bit about that, because traditionally we've always talked about treatment at the point of somebody's sobriety, right? Yeah. Somebody has achieved a state where they want to be in recovery mode. Not so much with harm reduction, right?
Right. So I think that was a huge piece that was missing for a very long time. It was always, we have all these treatment options for you when you're ready to be 100% sober, or when you're ready to be sober. But what about the people that are still struggling, that are actively using? They deserve treatment and care as well. And it not only does that, but it also builds rapport with these individuals. And when they come into our center, we're able to talk to them about what's going on in their life and where they're at. And if they're contemplating treatment, you know, we can work with them and let them know that we're there whenever they're ready, and we'll jump on it, and we will do everything we can to get them into treatment the second they decide that they want to go into treatment.
You know, I love the fact that during this segment there, you say something like, you know, everybody deserves a chance. And just because somebody is struggling with a disease, by the way, which is similar, the course of the disease as a chronic disease is pretty much the same as something like diabetes, right? And I think the phrase is that does not automatically make somebody a bad person. It absolutely doesn't, even when people are in the throes of that disease. And I think we capture that really well. So, you know, I think, you know, as a marketing person, when we're talking about the work that we do treatment, you know, we do a lot of work with advocacy, but we do a lot of work with education as well, don't we? And how important is it in what we do as we piece these things together, is getting that message out to a public who probably is aware of what conventional wisdom is, probably is using language which is inappropriate. Mm-hmm. I do think that addiction is one of the last bastions of prejudice in terms of the way that people speak about people that struggle with this disease. How important is to get that word out for BAMSI?
Well, Peter, I think it's extremely important, right? I think it's a testament to the importance of getting that education out here, that we were approached to be on Viewpoint. There is a huge educational component to the program, and it shows that, you know, this is a network, then they go by viewership and what folks want to learn about. And overcoming the stigma isn't possible unless the public in general is educated. And that education isn't just what they've heard traditionally or kind of conversations that they've had in over the past years. It's really what the direction is for treatment and how we treat people. And I think that's why it's important not just to have this, you know, shown on television for people to sit in their living rooms and watch, but to have a premiere in the community where folks can come out and, you know, talk together and be part of the solution and learning more about it in person. That's why I think the event is really, really very important. I think we could have stuck to the nationwide broadcast. That's incredible for us. But I think having people come together is really the most important part.
I think so, too. And it just sort of underscores that you can't really do something in isolation, that you have to think very broadly about how you get your message out. Mary, what do you want people, somebody's sitting at home and they've just had their, I nearly said tea, they've nearly had their dinner, they've just had their dinner and this comes on. What do you hope that people are going to get from it? What are the responses that you expect from this, from people who are seeing this for the first time?
I hope that when people see this video, again, like I mentioned in the video, it's in the video. Just because somebody is, you know, sick and suffering, and they are maybe actively using drugs, struggling with mental health, that doesn't make them any less deserving of our services, our care, our treatment. You know, I think people are trying to be nice, and they say this to me often, that I don't look like an addict. Oh, they would never believe that I was an addict. In reality, there is no one that looks like an addict. There isn't one demographic, you know, there isn't one type of person that is suffering from substance use disorder. And we're all just people. And I know, you know, you hear it often, but nobody dreams of growing up to be, you know, using drugs and unhoused and struggling with these issues. So that's the main thing that I hope people get out of our video.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we talk about personal choices all the time. And of course, I think that's the thing, you know, there is a choice to use alcohol, right? But there, at some point, there is not a choice when somebody is so addicted and so in the throes of the disease. You know, that I think that's something that I hope that people will realize. The other thing is this idea of recovery. There are people that sort of, this is an old notion that once an addict or always an addict, or you know, somebody who has an issue with alcohol, it will take them to the grave. Not so. I mean, if you look at the incidence of recovery let's take heart disease, let's take another chronic disease, diabetes, substance use disorder has a higher recovery rate for both of those long-term diseases. And the course of those diseases is incredibly similar, if you think about it, in terms of being a chronic disease. I think one of the things we're fighting to do is bring lived experience into that equation. I think for years and years, it was just about somebody who was labeled and somebody who was treated. Now, as you can see in this movie, we have that third leg of the stool. We have people who are in long-term recovery whose illness has not defined them. It's been an issue that they've dealt with. It's an issue that they'll always deal with, but it doesn't define them. They're working, they're economically contributing, they're helping other people oftentimes in their own recovery. How important is that message, Mary?
I think that message is very important. Sometimes I say I wish that everybody would kind of do some of the things that we're taught in recovery, because, you know, we're taught to take a moral inventory daily, to reflect on our actions and to strive to be better constantly, consistently. And, you know, it's something that could help anybody in any walk of life. You know, it's the people that I know in recovery are some of the most amazing people I've ever met. They're extremely intelligent. They would do anything to help another person. They would take the shirt off their back because they understand, you know, what it's like to be down and out and to be struggling. So I think it's very important.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's really important that comes out in your work all the time is that, yes, an individual struggles with addiction, for instance, but we have a societal problem around addiction. You know, I think it is a fact that 40% of people who end up addicted to opioids began that journey with an inappropriate prescription of opioid medication. And if you think about that, the medical profession does have something to answer for. You know, if there's an orthopedic surgeon, time is money, right? So you give somebody 60 pills rather than give them 5, and habituation to opioids is very, very quick. Those stories, they're all tragic stories, but they are stories that illuminate the fact that this is a societal issue as well as anything else. So we're not just helping people recover. We're sending out a message to say this is a joint responsibility of everybody who touches addiction. And again, I think that comes out in the work that you do, Mary. And, you know, as I was thinking, actually, I stumbled across an old comedy show the other day called My Name is Earl, or I think it was My Name.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten how funny it was, but I was reminded of that tenant. And for people who haven't seen it, so it's worth it. Margot Robbie is in it. And I thought I'd mention that because we've recently had the Oscars and she wasn't successful. But the premise is that Earl realizes that he's hurt a lot of people in his life, and he basically backtracks his life to go and apologize to everyone. It really is a fundamental piece, isn't it, of the journey of recovery, that being honest with yourself and facing up to the things that you've done and the things that you're not necessarily happy with, but were driven by the disease.
Yep, making amends. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it's a huge part when you are, you know, not just early in recovery, but you continue to do that for the rest of your life. You know, if you've done something to harm someone, whether it was intentional or unintentional, you do, you know, as long as that person will allow you to, you do what you can to make amends for that, you know, wrongdoing. Yeah. And it helps not only them, you know, it's more so to help the person recovering than the person that was wronged.
Right. And as you said before, that is a tenet by which we should all live. And so you're absolutely right. So as we wrap up here, Sarah, could you just tell us about the event again, just to remind people?
Absolutely. So the event, the Viewpoint premiere, is coming up on March 28th, Thursday, March 28th at Massasoit Community College. Doors will open at 4:30 and the show will start at 5:30. I do want to mention, though, that the full video with Mary and her entire team will be on BAMSI.org. So we'll have that posted there, as well as our commercials that came along with it. So, of course, we hope you can join us and hope that you'll watch us on PBS. But if you can't, there's certainly the opportunity for that content and the resources that we have for harm reduction with our COPE centers. All of that is available on BAMSI.org. So something folks can go to anytime of the day or night.
Thank you so much, Sarah. And Mary, thank you so much for coming on once again. And that is it for this week. So we'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.